It's time for Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. And now, here's Will Hampton.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and Merry Christmas from Catholic Sports Weekly. I'm your host, Will Hampton. Hope you have just enjoyed this week with your family and your friends, and God bless everyone who listens to Catholic Radio Indy. This show, Catholic Sports Weekly, is underwritten by AAA Roofing Company and also the Elam Group. Well, here we go. Tomorrow, if you're talking Saturday, is the National Championship Saturday, at least the semifinals in college football. I'm sure you'll be kind of wrapped up and warm and feeling good about watching some college football on Saturday, because you've got Oklahoma and LSU in the first game that starts at 4 o'clock Saturday, and then Ohio State against Clemson in the 8 o'clock game. These two games in the bowl games, and then they move on, and the two winners will face each other for the national championship. Right now, this is your national championship in college football. Oklahoma, LSU in the first game, 4 o'clock Saturday, and then Ohio State, Clemson at 8 o'clock on Saturday. Also Saturday, kind of the appetizer, are the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. They play at noon on Saturday in their bowl game against Iowa State. So we wish the Irish the very best as they try to win one more game in this season. Well, the run stopped at the highest level for Mark Henninger and the Marion University Knights last weekend. Football team had a great run. They were 12-0 going into the national championship game, ranked number 2 in the country, taking on number 1 Morningside. And they lost, and it was a shootout. 40-38 was the final score. I know Coach Han and Coach Carabeau, the defensive coordinator, both kicking themselves, wondering how on earth you give up 40 points, because that's not normal for this team whatsoever. But that Morningside team, obviously very good. So congratulations to the Marion University Knights. What a season. They go 12-1. They lose in the national championship game. Afterwards, in the post-game locker room, which is always a hard place to be, this is Coach Mark Henninger addressing his team. Now, I understand there's a lot of noise, a lot else going on. There's guys crying, but this is Coach Mark Henninger of the Marion Knights talking to his Knights football team after they lost the national championship game.
The true character of this team, I felt, was shown tonight. Now, I mean, we didn't play our best football, okay? And that's evident, okay? But I mean, dudes never gave up. You never flinched. You never questioned yourself. You never questioned your teammates. You never questioned each other. So I am extremely proud to be associated with you. I'm extremely proud of the effort that you guys have given. I'm extremely proud of everything that you've done for me, for my family, for our staff, for each other. Words can't describe the way that I feel about each and every one of you. You know, we talk about love all the time, all right? I don't shy away from telling you that I love you, because it's true, all right? I love you. I do. All right? And I love the fact that you love each other, all right? And the fact that a scoreboard out there today doesn't change any of that, all right? Doesn't change any of that. Seniors, you know, I know you're walking out of here disappointed. Don't have your head down. Because I told you today before the thing that, you know, your destiny is not going to be achieved tonight. Right? Your destiny is not tied to losing a football game. You know? Your destiny right now, the way I see it, here, whatever, 20 minutes after the fact, your destiny is the fact that you got our program back where it belongs. You guys got the thing back where it belongs. Because we should be playing this game every year. Every year. And at this point last year, you guys said that we're getting the thing back. And you took the thing on your shoulders and you drug our ass back where we're supposed to be.
Yeah, back to where they're supposed to be, and that's playing for national championships. That's Coach Mark Henninger again of the Marion University Knights. They lost in the title game. What a year, though. They finished 12-1, and you can tell by his speech there, the post-game address to the team, they're already counting on next year. They're already looking ahead. The kids will get in the weight room probably this week or when they get back from their Christmas break. And they'll go to work and try to do it again. A couple other notes. Charles Salary, the running back for the Knights, he was a big honor he got over the weekend when they were down in Louisiana. He was named the NAIA Player of the Year nationally. So Charles Salary, the running back, the NAIA Player of the Year. And overall, what a year, what a season for the Marion Knights in the fall sports. Volleyball, of course, won the national championship. Women's soccer got to the national championship game and lost, so they come out of this fall with a national champion in volleyball and two runner-ups in women's soccer and football. That's pretty good. Hey, the Colts, did you see their game on Sunday last week? They beat a Carolina team that just didn't look like they were very enthusiastic about playing. The Colts whipped them 38-6. So now the season comes down to one final game on the road at Jacksonville. The start time, if you don't know yet, has been moved. It's now a 4:25 kickoff this Sunday, the Colts at Jacksonville. A win will even the season, and the Colts, with a win, will finish the year 8-8. Real quickly, Pacers basketball, if you're looking for something to do this holiday season, they have that New Year's Eve game, which should be kind of fun to watch. They play the Sixers, a very good Eastern Conference foe. That game is New Year's Eve, a 3 p.m. start at home at the Bankers Life Fieldhouse. So the Pacers and the Sixers, get your tickets now, as they say. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, there's a big game coming up. Maybe biggest game you'll hear all year. It's called the Cassock Classic, when the Priests take on the Seminarians. And a guy who knows both teams really well, Father Clayton Thompson, joins us next when we continue on Catholic Sports Weekly.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten by AAA Roofing Company, where they offer full-service professional roofing, including repairs and maintenance. They're a fourth-generation, family-owned business, equipped, trained, and uniquely qualified to serve your roofing needs. Using a professional roofer protects your roof and your building investment. Information about AAA Roofing is available at 317-635-2928 or at www.aaaroofingcompany.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly, this show underwritten by AAA Roofing Company and also 21ology.com. Well, I teased it in the first segment. The Cassock Classic is just around the corner. It's January 3rd at Guerin Catholic High School, and it's my pleasure to welcome Father Clayton Thompson to the show. Father Clayton, you had a big game last year, bragging rights to the Priests because they finally got a win, right? Was that the first one last year when the Priests finally beat the Seminarians?
Well, we don't like to advertise it that way, but yeah, it was the first win that we actually had against the Seminarians, but because of our natural talent and the great way that we played basketball, which of course is going to continue this year.
Yeah, I did call you Father Clayton, and we were talking about it a little bit off air. You're one of the new guys, relatively young priest, who wants to, you go by Father Clayton instead of Father Thompson. Now, I'm sure you'll answer to anything. But I know Father Hunter, we've talked to him, Father Bauer, they both like the last name. It's kind of interesting how different priests have a different idea. What is the purpose for you that you think Father Clayton is the way you like to be addressed? Is there kind of a reason for it? Or?
You know, I'll tell you, it just kind of started happening that way from the beginning of my priesthood. I was at a parish where the other priests went by their first names, and I think it works for me. So I haven't thought about it too much. I also serve a Hispanic community, and they can't say Clayton or Thompson, and so I go by my middle name for them, David.
Okay.
And so, yeah, you're right. I answered just about anything.
Yeah. Father Clayton Thompson joining us. Of course, the Cassock Classic is coming up January 3rd. Tell me a little bit about, give us the background for people who, I know you're from originally Westfield, if I'm correct, and you grew up at St. Maria Goretti Parish, but now your job is, you're the director of the Office of Vocations, am I correct? And help people, our listeners, understand a little bit about you.
Sure, yeah. So I'm the pastor at a little parish in Delphi, Indiana, but also, like you mentioned, the director of vocations for the Diocese of Lafayette. And so a lot of what my work centers around, along with Father Derek Aaron, who works with me in the vocations office, is we really are about helping young people discover that vocation that God's chosen for them. And in a particular way, our job is to help young men discern the diocesan priesthood for the Diocese of Lafayette. And so we do that in a lot of different ways, and Father Aaron actually does a lot of our promotions and our walking with the young guys who are in those initial stages of discernment. My job is more to take care of the administration of that office of vocations, and I'm also in charge of walking alongside of our seminarians, the men who have actually been admitted to the seminary and are sponsored by our diocese, to watch over their formation and to bring them along, to make sure that we have good and holy and healthy and happy priests after they're ordained.
Well, and I think, you know, I know at our church, Our Lady of Grace in Noblesville, you know, every Mass, especially the daily Mass, there's a prayer for vocations, especially from our parish, is sort of the way typically it's worded. It seems to me that the Lafayette Diocese especially is really strong with some really good young seminarians, people who are answering the call. Is that correct, that you feel like you're in a good place, that there are enough young seminarians, soon to be priests, that are coming forward?
Yeah, well, I'm hesitant to say yes, because we always need more, and I think as we look at numbers, those numbers can always go up, and in terms of replacing the priests that we currently have working in our diocese, I think our work is cut out for us. But I'll tell you what I am impressed with in our diocese is the quality of the men who are studying for the priesthood. I'm inspired by the young men who are coming up through the pipeline, through the system of formation, and I'm inspired by their zeal for the faith, their zeal for evangelization, their love of Christ, and their dedication to the church. And I think that you're right, the Diocese of Lafayette has a lot of hope for the future just by looking at the quality of these young men that are in formation for us.
Mm-hmm. Talking with Father Clayton, of course, we started off talking about the Catholic Classic, so let's talk a little basketball. Last year, in that game at Guerin Catholic, this year's game, January 3rd, 6 o'clock start at Guerin Catholic, we're going to broadcast it here on Catholic Radio Indy. But tell me a little bit about, I know last year it seemed like you and Father Hahn, who I understand is not playing this year, you two just sort of took it upon yourself to dominate that game, and you said, you know what, we're going to beat these seminarians this year. Without Father Hahn, are you going to be able, where's your two of the 1-2 punch this year?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think we got some digging to do to find the person who's going to replace Father Hahn, if indeed he's not going to be able to make it. And another thing, you know what, I think here on the air, we want to go ahead and throw out there for the first time the big shocker that I'm actually playing with the seminarians this year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so I'm on the seminarians team, and so I think the priests have it doubly difficult trying to fill something in. But no, to be honest with you, I think it was a fluke last year that I had a good game, so I'm not sure I'm going to help the seminarians too much.
but to me, it was interesting because of your role with the diocese. It seems like you could pick and choose who has to work that night for the seminarians, and they can't come to the game. you could kind of work the lineup a little bit, but you're saying you're going over to their team. Now, how are you able to do that? What are the other priests saying about that?
Well, they don't know anything.
Oh, they don't know yet. Okay,
we'll probably see the fireworks at the game when they find out.
So, did the seminarians just need more help? Were there not enough that could play? Is it, what's the reason for moving over there?
Yeah, I think that we're just a little down on the numbers for the team this year, and so Father Aaron and I, the associate vocations director, we played with the seminarians on their team when we had the softball game back in August,
okay.
and that seemed to work pretty well to get our numbers where they needed to be. So we figured we're going to keep that going until we get enough priests or enough seminarians in formation for our diocese to be able to move back over to the priest team where we belong and where our hearts really are.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the reason behind this game. What was the purpose of putting this together? And I know it's a great night. There's a lot of fellowship. I really highly recommend anybody listening to this to mark your calendar for January 3rd, 6 o'clock start at Guerin Catholic in Noblesville. What's the reason? What do you see that comes out of it as far as the fellowship and just an opportunity to get together and have a little fun?
Well, you know what? I think first and foremost, it's a wonderful opportunity for the priests to put the seminarians in their place and teach them that deep humility that's needed for the priesthood in the future. But no, you're right. I think one of the wonderful things about this game is that it shows a couple of things. Number one, it shows a great camaraderie among the priests of our diocese and the seminarians of our diocese. And it shows that there's a friendship there, there's a deep human connection, and it shows that that great health of the presbyterate in the Diocese of Lafayette. And I think that is just a good thing for folks to witness. But in a real way, too, from my perspective, from the perspective of someone who's working for vocations in the church, one of the beautiful things that this game accomplishes is that it paints a picture of the priesthood that might be very different from what someone gets in their mind from just a Sunday morning. You see the priest at Mass, you see him in the sanctuary, you see him doing a lot of very solemn movements, and you think, well, here's a guy, his life has no entertainment or fun or humanity to it. But it's showing a very different side of the priesthood, that there is definitely a human element, that we like to go out, we have fun as well. And it shows, from my perspective, that this vocation does not somehow suppress your humanity, but rather it directs the gifts that God has given to serve the church in a real way while allowing your human nature to flourish completely. And so you see the human qualities of the priests in our diocese, and you see how much fun that they're having up there, and it really is paints a great picture of what the priesthood's about, especially in the minds and hearts of the young people who are there.
Well, that's well said, and that is what it's all about. You can see that there's a lot of fire, there's a lot of intensity, but these are real guys, you know. They're our priests, but they're real guys, and that's what matters, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, no, but you definitely see that very masculine competitiveness come out as well.
All right. January 3rd, 6 o'clock at Guerin Catholic High School in Noblesville. It'll be the priests against the seminarians. Father Clayton, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, likewise. Thanks very much.
All right. Have a good one. We're going to take a break. More Catholic Sports Weekly after this.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
It's not just a radio station, it's a ministry.
Catholic Radio Indy.
You guys just have no idea how much of a difference it makes.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly, the show underwritten by AAA Roofing Company. They do need workers. Go to AAARoofingCompany.com and follow the careers icon on there. And also the Elam Group. Hey, it's my pleasure to welcome back a guest who's been on this show a few times and a good friend of mine, Todd Mello, with a group called BeyondThis.net. Todd, welcome. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for having me, Will.
Well, I tell you, a lot going on with your world, and you've been involved in so many things, but about 100% of the stuff you do is trying to help other people.
Well,
and you're just always trying to put your hand out there and see where you can guide people to the right choices. And how is it going for you now? BeyondThis.net has been now about a year, isn't it? Something like that you've been doing, or am I wrong?
Yeah, a little over a year is what we've been doing, Will. So, yeah, I appreciate it. We've been working in central Indiana, trying to help kids find the purpose and passion in life and helping them to reduce fear and apprehension and tension and helping them increase grit and leadership and resiliency and self-awareness and managing emotions. So it's been a great ride, and God gets all the glory.
Well, tell me a little bit about how the program works. How do you get involved? I know a lot of it's sixth graders through seniors in high school, and some of the things you mentioned there. There's so many kids who are kind of lost, and they're depressed, and they're trying to find, and this time of year sometimes makes it even tougher on them. Tell me a little bit about how does it work? How does the curriculum work?
Yeah, no, I absolutely appreciate that. Right now we're in schools, and so if your child is not in those schools that we're in, then we have a new new opportunity for kids to get involved starting in February 10th. We'll have leadership academies all across Central Indiana, basically at remote locations, and those will be on our website. And so you can sign your child up to become a part of our leadership academy. And basically what we do, Will, is we first measure the students. And so we measure them in 22 different attributes, starting with self-awareness, managing emotions, apprehension, grit, resiliency. The reason we do that is because we really want to help kids vocalize what it is that they're struggling with. And a lot of times we can't, even as adults, we can't put our finger on it. Like, we don't know what it is. And these are even successful kids, or kids with straight A's or A's and B's or whatever. It doesn't always have to be the depressed kids or the kids struggling in school. I mean, these are a lot of kids. We had a girl at a pretty prestigious high school, and I won't tell you which one, but 4.6 GPA, and she had never heard of the word self-awareness before. And that's not an indictment on that school. It's just we don't talk like this, you know? And so helping kids understand that self-awareness is how my behavior is affecting the lives of other people. You know, it's my strengths and my weaknesses, but it's also how I'm perceived by other people. And more importantly, it's my identity in Christ, and helping them understand that they're not defined by what they do for a living. They're not defined by who they marry. They're not defined by how many kids they have or the success or the failures that they have. We are defined by Christ, first and foremost. So if you know that, that's a good basis to start from. Then we help kids find their purpose and passion in life. And that it all begins with that assessment. We break that down. They take it online. And then we go over it with them one-on-one in the one-on-one interview. And then we help them improve in those areas. And we've reduced apprehension and tension by over 40% in the schools that we're in.
Wow. Now, let's say a kid is not a real faith-filled kid, that he's a kid that you know, that's sort of a struggle for him first. How do you get that kid involved?
Well, we never jam religion or spirituality or Christ or anything down their throat. We really just meet the kids where they are. And so if they don't believe in Jesus, it's not okay, but it's okay, right? I mean, we want them to believe in him eventually because that's how we get saved. But we help them and show them the areas in which they are behaving regardless of faith or anything. And so really just help them to model that in front of them. And so, again, we don't jam it down their throat. We're not preaching to them or any of that stuff. It's really just loving them and serving them and modeling what sort of behavior that we want them to model. And that's how we do it with our instructors and our volunteers and our mentors.
So the Beyond This Leadership Academy starts February 10th, and you're saying the best place to go is beyondthis.net, and they can get more information.
Yeah, there'll be drop-down screens for them to choose, you know, which locations would be more convenient for them. And I think it's a pretty reasonable price and for 16 weeks and that kind of thing. So, yeah, we're excited about it.
Tell me about you've written, is it a book or a guideline called 24 Dates with My Dad? What was that all about, and how much do you use that still today?
We still use quite a bit of it, actually, because it's all about conversation. Well, I mean, it's very important to be intentional about conversation with your kids or students or whoever you're mentoring or whoever you're pouring into in your life. And so it's really just about having conversations with, kids or adults or what have you. It's a communication tool just to really be transparent with each other to figure out, you know, how are you really doing? How am I doing as a dad? How am I doing as a mom? Those kind of things. And then activities that, you know, that are surrounded by that. So a lot of that curriculum that I wrote, you know, I think it was 15 years ago, we still use today with a lot of the classroom stuff, because it's all participatory learning. A lot of teachers, and I'm not bashing teachers by any means, but a lot of teachers preach, right, and lecture and things like that. We don't, that's not our style, and there's nothing wrong with that style, but that's not our style. Our style is participatory. We believe the answers are inside of each of us, and we want to help them discover that and pull that information out of them.
Yeah. Talking with Todd Mello. The website is beyondthis.net, helping a lot of kids and other people, and we do appreciate what you do. Hey, I know recently I saw something, and you can talk about this or not, but you said, I saw some, I think it was a Facebook post, where you said you saw your Facebook post and you said you were just too fat. And you attacked yourself.
Amen.
You went after yourself to lose weight. How is that going? I hadn't seen you in a while.
It's going well, Will. It really is. You know, when I was 40 years old, which was 9 years ago, I was in the best shape of my life. And We just had our, my wife just got pregnant with our last boy. We have four boys. Mm-hmm. And I just used that as an excuse. I really did. It wasn't intentional. It just kind of got away from me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm there. That's where I am.
Yeah. So, being a little bit more self-control, you know, understanding not, you know, when not to eat, when not to, you know, partake in late night snacks, and then also when to exercise and really when to exercise that self-control that we all have inside of us, and we all know what to do. It's just having that discipline to do it.
Well, speaking of that, I know there's a thing, Exodus 90. I did it last year, and it's a Catholic men's thing, but it's really open to anyone. But it is exactly that. It's telling yourself, okay, I don't need to eat between meals. I don't need to have all these snacks, and I do not need to have all these sweets. And I need to pray more. I need to to go to reconciliation. I need to pray and listen. I mean, so much of what we do as grown men, we're focused and we're pushing. Sometimes we kind of forget to sit and listen to the Lord, don't we?
That's exactly right. And, you know, the other thing I found, Will, is that you mentioned earlier serving others and so forth, and it has been my life's call and my life's mission. I think that's everybody's life call and life mission. But for me, I have neglected myself. You know, it just hasn't been that self-care that we need. You know, we have to take care of ourselves first and foremost. And I know that might sound selfish.
No, it doesn't. No.
You know, but we have to take care, because when we take care of ourselves, then we'll take care of others better, right? Or serve other people better. And so I just made a decision. I've got to start doing that much more.
Yeah. Todd Mello, beyondthis.net. Can't let you go. We only got about a minute left. But how about that Monon Bell and DePaul beating Wabash, huh?
That was
I know
incredible.
Your son played football at DePaul, and Bill Lynch is, I'm sure, a good family friend. And tell me a little bit about what that meant to your family to see DePaul get that win in the Monon Bell.
You know, that was pretty special, Will. It really was. You know, and for Bill to go out on that win as a retirement and to do it in the final seconds the way it happened, I mean, to see the joy on my son's face and his friends' faces and his teammates, you know, to walk off that field for the last time as a victor, as a senior, it's pretty special, man.
Yeah,
it's a great rivalry, great group of men and women that go to DePaul, and obviously a great group of men that go to Wabash, and amazing teachers and professors. And it's just two great institutions going at each other, and what a better way that for Bill Lynch to go out as a winner like that. So, yeah, Luke's going into coaching because of Coach Lynch. He really is. He's going to go, wants to coach college or high school football. Not sure yet. He's trying to figure that out. But
all right.
He's excited.
Well, thank you. And go DePaul. And go Wolves.
Yeah.
Thanks, Todd.
That's right.
BeyondThis.net. And that'll do it for this edition of Catholic Sports Weekly. God bless.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. Join us each Tuesday and Friday afternoon here on Catholic Radio for Catholic Sports Weekly.